Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the
light. As you should. There's my daughter's favourite song. Her second birthday today. I'm Tony Wilson. Her name's Polly Wilson, 2 years old. Always look on the bright side of life in her top five favourite songs. And with me in the studio for the party show as a special guest co-host is Tony Martin. Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Hello, Tony. Look, I didn't know that Hedley wasn't going to be here. No. So you've been calling me for 2 weeks going, oh, we're going to do the party show. We should prepare some stuff. And I'm thinking, well, no, Hedley's got an agenda of his own.
Yeah, it'll ride.
DD will have some tracks queued up. There'll be the usual callers. We'll have to play Elvis song at the wrong speed. What does he do? There's certain conventions that have to be observed.
Well,
and then I come in and I go, well, are we here before Hedley?
And that's 11 minutes ago, and I said to you, Hedley is not coming in, Tony. I'm doing it. So you've got someone who panels about once a year.
Yeah, it's always good. Yeah.
With someone who comes on three times a year.
Sure.
So you've got a reasonable handle on how this thing works.
But I didn't think there could be the party show without Hedley. Surely people will be confused.
He has holidays. Although the odd thing, he has holidays, but I've never seen him.
So never
I've been at this station for... it's 10 years, I think, and have never... All I know is that he always wears the same jumper.
I've been coming in on the movie version of the party show since 1990, and every time he's worn the same aqua green wind cheater with a koala stuck on it, like a three-dimensional koala with eyes that move.
And he's worn that.
That's what he wears every time.
So I know that. And every year I go to the Triple R staff meeting that they have before the radiothon period. They sort of word us up and say, this year we're doing circuses, so
right.
You know, make sure you do those whoopee noises and we'll do the riding bears music and all that sort of thing. And then you sort of hope as the people go around the room that one of them will announce himself as Hedley, or really it will be announced by the fact that there's a small koala on his chest with googly eyes. And that never happens. Never goes to those meetings.
And
one rule for us, another rule for Hedley.
But he's... what do we really know about Hedley? I mean, what sort of information do you have about him? I mean, I've been coming on show for nearly 20 years, and this is what I know about him. He came up with the Ken Bruce's Gone Mad commercials.
Wrote them.
That was his idea. Produced them. And he, of course, wrote the film Trojan Warrior.
That's the other thing I knew about him.
Starring Stan the Man Longinidis.
I didn't know if he'd written it or if he was an associate producer on it.
I think he's the producer and the writer as well.
And did that also have Jacko in it, maybe?
Jacko.
Or someone like that? Or Dermot Brereton or something?
Probably. Just showed up. Chopper was in it, playing a character called Eric Banner.
Right.
See, that would have been Hedley's idea. That would have been from the mind of Hedley, right there.
Do you know what he does during the day apart from occasionally producing straight to video Australian classics?
Don't know. I mean, he obviously only has one set of clothes. Dee Dee probably does most of the work for him. Dee Dee would panel at his house, run things like a butt, like Jeeves.
Yeah. Well, if you know anything about Hedley, you're welcome to call in
now,
if you know about his life. Or is this actually, are we steering into a very dangerous...
He'll be sitting at home now, lurching for the telephone.
Oh, my God.
Don't do that!
Yeah.
The first time I heard the party show was, when did it start?
15 years, is it? 20 years?
Is it 15 years? Well, I thought I'd been in since 90, and I thought I'd been going...
Since 85 or something?
Something like that. And I was driving along one day, the first time I heard the show... Because he gets really wild combinations of people in there sometimes. First time I heard it, Senator Gareth Evans and Zag. that was the hype.
Do you remember whether Zag's the good one or the bad one?
I can never. The other one must hate that, though.
Yeah.
And isn't one dead?
No, there's no doubt that Zag got tagged with Zig's brush. There's no doubt about that. And I tried to teach you a system for remembering this.
Wait, how is it again?
You use the David Bowie song.
Yeah.
Ziggy played with kids instead of Ziggy played guitars.
It's like stalactite, stalagmite. It's the same thing.
It's easy. Once you learn it, Ray Mattson taught me that.
I came in here one time and to do the movie show, and Hedley had been to Sexpo that day and had picked up Serenity, the porn actress. So she was just in here on the show. So we're talking about the
English. Using picked up in the kind of...
I'm trying to be ambiguous.
People getting together for a milkshake sense.
Or he met her and invited her in, but it felt like him getting her in here as a guest on his show was the sort of beginning of some sort of courtship procedure.
Really?
Yeah, and then...
But you haven't seen that they're still together, so there's no sign it particularly worked.
There's nothing on the internet. But we had to do, like, you know, talk serious about movies and then incorporate Serenity's view in. So if you're talking about the English Patient, and we began, was that there was no implants in... I think that was all she was talking about, was who had implants.
Well, there was a sex scene in it, so maybe to say...
Like at a burnt face.
Would that have been easy to shoot?
Do you get many people with burnt faces in your line of work? I don't know. Okay, so what do we do? What are our obligations as, I guess, caretakers of Hedley's party show? What do we have to do over the next 2 hours?
Well, I don't know. Honestly, you've been on it more times than me, and I was on a breakfast show, so I never stayed up this late.
I always remember the word, something about the Stones insist on rolling or something. I think he plays the Stones always at some point.
The Stones.
And then with callers, there's a number of regular callers, many of whom sound very heavily medicated. So I'm hoping we'll be hearing from them.
Yeah, well, we'll put them on. I have committed. Well, this is what we said in our preparation. We're going to put as many people on as we can. We're going to have a fairly relaxed attitude to getting our track numbers up per hour. And that if we're in really big trouble, Hedley is invited to call and we'll pop him online too permanently to be that additional steadying voice.
Okay.
But it is... Two tones.
Yeah,
it was a dangerous pun, imminent. Yeah, we should have got our title before we came on, but we haven't. But it will involve two tones when we do come up with the finished article. Tony Martin and Tony Wilson, taking you through until 2 a.m. this morning. Thank you to Yoni for the last 2 hours as well. I've pressed a button. It didn't work, but we press it again.
Bang! We're away! We'll be right back.
That is Erasmus from UMI, yeah. And is it their most recent record?
It's from Dilettantes, it is.
Excellent. Well, back announced. And before that, we heard from Mink, Rat or Rabbit, which in the dark days of my Breakfasters reign, I reckon probably year two or three, I was given this CD for free.
Is that right?
And loved it. Have you, it's been a beauty.
What I love is you've taken the sticker off too.
Absolutely. Well, you don't want if the cops want an easy arrest right now, like say the CBD doesn't have people just knifing each other in it in these 2 to 4 hours, and the cops just want a really easy arrest.
I know.
I think we're 591 Nicholson Street.
Yeah, no, we're down by the old Universal.
Come up, ask me for my copy of Mink, Rat or Rabbit. You'll have a look at the way it's sort of photocopied.
Yeah, do you always worry that they are going to one day want all these albums back? And I mean, I've still got vinyl from the 80s with stickers on going, property of EMI Records, and you just, one day they're just going to go, we're going to have to call Tony Martin and get all of those Gary Newman albums back. I know it's been a long time, but the sticker's there.
Last couple of weeks have been slow, and we're finally, it's the same sort of feeling as I have about ordering my photos, you know, like putting him in an album and stuff.
Yeah, right.
In a quiet week, that's something I'll do. And the cops, if they have the equivalent of that, let's sort out our photos week.
Yeah, right.
They'll get your EMI records. Hey, we've got a caller.
Joel!
Joel is on line one. He wanted to talk Australian metal because it's Australia Day. Joel, are you there on line one?
Yeah, mate.
Oh, hello.
How you been?
Good.
Are you one of Headley's regular callers, Joel?
Yep.
And what sort of stuff, I mean, what you know, what should we be doing?
I reckon there should be more Australian metal on Triple R.
More Australian metal, right there. Mm-hmm.
Is that your one? Would you call yourself, if you were setting up a political party, like you'd be a one issue man, probably?
Probably, you know, like they always say, if there was more metal on the radio, there'd be less problems
in society.
Is that something that's generally being expressed?
Yeah, I reckon, because I think metal's such good music, and I think it should be more airplayed a bit more.
Right. And what does...
the people.
Does Headley, you know, play a lot of Aussie metal, or...?
Who?
The normal host of the party show here on Triple R.
Don't know him?
Oh, there's a metal show on Triple R, Simon. He plays a bit of whatever he can get his hands on, but yeah. I just think there should be more bands. Like, have you ever heard of a band called Segregation?
No. What's the Segregation story?
Well, they're from a band from Wollongong, and they've had a few requests on Channel V back in the 90s. And, like, they're just a band that need to be supported a bit more, as well as bands like Pegasus, Mortal Sin, bands like... There's a grind metal band called The Day Everything Became Nothing. The album's called Invention Destruction.
Tony is writing all of these down. We're going to see what is up on the wall behind him.
If Event and Destruction have a new release out, I will find it in the catalogue. Thank you very much for your
thoughts. There's other bands like Alchemist and Damaged and all that. Do you want me to play you a bit of Mortal Sin?
Well, over the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, give us a bit.
Yeah, okay.
Because I feel there should be more Australian metal supported as well as overseas. Because this is a band from Sydney, by the way.
Right.
Cool. Have a listen. Prepare yourself.
Okay, we're crossing now live to Joel's place for Mortal Sin.
You listening, mate?
Yeah.
It's doing what it's supposed to do.
Did you record that with 64-bit, or did you do the full 128-bit when you downloaded it?
Can't hear you.
There's the augmented fourth.
Gets better.
Really? Joel? Joel,
how could it get any better? Well, there you go. I think that's a great example.
Joel, thank you very much for sharing that with us. It's been actually a fairly bad week for Australian metal in the BHP sense. I know they shed thousands of jobs, and for you to give
more metal supplied,
and
mate.
Just to have you supply metal in the way that that our big Australian or big South African isn't, is just an enormous thrill. And thank you for being our first caller on the party show tonight. We have a second caller. Should we just go straight over,
Tone?
It's good. No, he's onto something there. If Wayne Swan was to appear at a press conference, go, look, things are looking bad.
Mate.
Yeah.
But listen to this. Just hold up a little tape recorder with a bit of Mortal Sin.
Yeah.
Just listen to about, you know, 2 minutes 20 of that.
And it's amazing. And a lot of people, Joel, another thing I'll point out is a lot of people expect their sound to come through with some sort of timbre, you know, like that sort of people fuss about, you know, the width of their cables and whatever. We just got that song via...
on the phone.
Yep.
Alexander Graham Bell's, well, he didn't invent it, he stole it from someone, but, you know, the inventor of the telephone, a bit of 1890s technology, just gave us the sound quality that we were so proud of there.
It was beautiful.
Cool, thanks.
Thank you, Joel, you're a champ. We got on line two.
The best of the 1890s.
Hello, line two. We're free-forming a little bit here on the party show. Tony Martin and Tony Wilson filling in for Headley. Is that you, Headley?
Top of the morning, chaps.
Who is it?
Biggest Diggers.
Oh, Biggest Diggers, one of Headley's regulars. How long have you been, you know, conversing with Headley of a Saturday night, Sunday morning?
It'll probably be un-Australian of me to announce how long, but I'll give you a rough estimate. It's 20 years and 4 months.
Is that right? 20? And is that how long the show's been going?
No, much longer, I believe.
Right. And have you ever met Headley in person?
I have not, and it's... very surprised about what you've said about him earlier on.
Really?
Well, I don't think many people would probably know about it. I'm a bit shocked. And
well, I mean, the name Hedley Gritter does appear. I mean, it's a fairly one-off kind of name. It does appear in the opening credits of Trojan Warrior. I don't think that's like an industry secret or anything.
Which bit shocked you? Which bit shocked you, the Trojan Warrior bit or the...
No, I'm familiar with the T-shirt, the jumper, the blue jumper. I've heard that many a time from many of the guests. I was just going to re-say, where's Dee Dee, where's Tariq, where's Pablo, where's the crew?
Where are they?
I don't know, I was sitting in the hot seat a couple of weeks. 2 weeks ago we done a technology show and I was in the studio for the night, which is my yearly appearance.
Biggest! In the studio!
In the studio, fourth time, possibly the last.
Yeah. Wow.
Where is everyone? Where's Dee Dee?
They're all on holiday still. It's like, you don't understand it. Like the, even though Triple R has become a much more... look, we've got such a beautiful premises here now, but, you know, there's still that free form, an unstructured attitude to January that still goes right through the whole station.
It's
hardly anyone bothers to come in.
It's like the Ponds Institute in here. It's beautiful.
So they're all on holiday, if you think Hedley should work harder... to be honest, Trojan Warrior came out 7 years ago.
I'm surprised he hasn't called in. I'm thinking that he thinks that Tariq's still in the show. Tariq's still in the show tonight. He probably
really?
Didn't realise he's still overseas in the States, from what I understand.
Are there any sort of regular segments that we're supposed to be doing here?
Well, you mentioned one earlier on. Tony, what was it when you first came on?
Rolling Stones.
Yeah, the Rolling Stones. And we.
Well, do you want to do it?
We dropped the needle on Elvis Presley many years ago.
Yeah, I don't think is the equipment here for that, for needle dropping?
No,
I'm not sure. Okay, tell you what, Tony's hit on a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Given that you actually have a handle on what should be going on, Biggus.
Right.
Do you know how he forward announces a Rolling Stones song?
Yes, he does.
Can you do it?
Just give it to us now.
Okay, this is Biggus forwarding announcing on behalf of Hedley Gritter, the Stones that assist upon rolling.
Good.
Everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's 60s art.
Thank you, Bigger Stickers.
Yep, he did a good job there. I thought forwarding, announcing, and complying by the obligations of parties show hosts.
And he's been, how many months? It was like 20 years and so many months.
Yeah. He knew about his career as a caller, but he was more shaky on Headley's as a presenter.
Tony, you've got an injury. What's going on?
I have. At 11:51, we were really confronting the issue of you not knowing that Headley wasn't going to be hosting.
No.
You thinking that Headley was going to be the host.
I raced down to my car and got some music.
And you thought, you know what else we need at this point? We probably need a couple of beers to get us through. And I said, well, there's a pub that's 7 metres away. I'll run across there.
Yeah.
Got across. There's a terrific band going at the Lomond tonight, by the way, if you want to get down. And then I asked at the bar, can we have a six-pack? And they said we couldn't.
Because?
Didn't explain.
Because you look too young?
I don't think so. I have male pattern balding that few men in their teens have.
And then that wasn't enough to convince them that we could handle some beers.
I didn't want us to have beer. So I then was running very close to the line to relieve Yoni after his show and did my hamstring on the crossing. Which I actually did it 2 weeks ago, playing in the Triple R cricket game.
I'm going to pretend I'm interested in the cricket game, but how did that go?
Well, the ball itself that the hamstring snapped on. So if you imagine when you do a hamstring, it feels like you're being shot from behind.
Great.
I haven't been shot.
Got more reasons to do sport. Fantastic.
So you just get this sudden, sharp, grabbing sensation at the back of your
I've
leg.
I've seen the guy on, of course, Potluck. That's what you're talking about. That's where I've seen it.
Someone's done their hamstring on Potluck?
On Potluck with Ernie Sigley back in 1987. Footage on YouTube. Very funny.
Well,
Blake actually does his hamstring during a high kick for some, I don't know, ice skating or something.
Well, you would have enjoyed watching me come back from the pub because I re-tore my hamstring going across the pedestrian crossing.
Shouldn't you be at hospital? What are we doing here?
Probably should have ice on it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. There's not going to be any ice here.
Probably not. What a night it's been, though. I've watched a bit of The West Wing.
All right, yeah.
Episode 16, series 6.
I've never seen any of it, but it would take years, surely, to watch it from the beginning.
What's been your most memorable spoiler? You know, where you just couldn't have avoided the spoiler.
Oh,
always
gosh.
Had plans of.
The end of The Sopranos, I think.
You've been done.
I went to CNN and there was a headline that just said.
Really? Don't tell me what it
was. It was all a dream. No, sorry.
Because I'm only up to series 6 of The Sopranos, too.
Right.
But I subscribed to Crikey.
Yep.
Which is the news service, you know, Stephen Mayne founded a few years ago. And in Obama week, they just had a list, and I was scrolling down, and you could click on and watch all the inauguration speeches all the way back to FDR. It was a really good compilation that they'd done and a good service. And so I'm just going, you know, FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, and then it goes through and through and through, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush.
See,
then, and in, just to finish it off.
The guy on Potluck.
No, the guy who won the election at the end of Series 7 of The West Wing. You could watch his inauguration speech.
Spoiler!
Gone.
But this is what you would do. You would go to a website and look at inauguration speeches. What I've done this week is gone to collegehumor.com and watched all of the kittens versus objects clips and ranked them in order of cuteness and humor. That's what I've done. Seriously, that was like a whole hour of
kittens.
Sitting there. It's someone
you're not a cat man, though, eh?
Oh, I've got friends who are cats who are trying to bring me back because I used to be into cats. Then I got a dog. Now I'm trying to get back into cats. There's footage of someone getting their cat to attack polystyrene cats, tear them to pieces.
And that was, did you rank that number one?
I think that was my favourite, yeah. The one of the cat just destroying the entire toilet roll while it's on the holder. See, you can watch inauguration speeches or you can watch this. Yin and Yang. And I don't even think yim is a word.
Well, we could... this is... What a great idea for a call-in.
You're
to
just
get
desperate.
People to call
You're
in with
desperate
their...
desperate because we haven't prepared anything to get anything to work as a call-in.
One idea for a call-in would be... whether you'd prefer to watch inauguration speeches or cats versus whatever. But another thing would be the spoiler that's come.
Spoilers, that's a good
that's
one.
That's hit you.
That is a good one.
The baseball bat spoiler that's where you couldn't have avoided it and it's done you for an entire, you know, commitment.
I was watching Live and Let Die, the James Bond film tonight.
Bond lives, doesn't he?
Okay, let's spoil the ending. Yaffa Koto turns into a balloon. And goes like flies around the room as a balloon with air hissing out of it. That's the poorest thing I've ever seen in James Bond. But as someone pointed out, a friend of mine pointed out, the song
"Live and Let
In," what is it? In this ever changing world
in which we live in.
That's very poor, isn't it? In which we live in. There should only be one in there, shouldn't there? In which we
in
live.
In which we live in, yeah.
In which we live in. I'll just throw in an extra in to make the scan work. It's very poor. That's like, you remember years ago there was a jingle for Bib Stillwell. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And there was like room for about 15 syllables and he only had like about 6. So they just stretched them all out. You can believe in Bib Stillwell, the man knows cars. Like, it's way too much. He needed a lot more syllables and just stretch man.
Knows his cars.
Knows and cars. But that's terrible. Paul McCartney. This ever changing world in which we live in. It's very poor.
So another call in topic. So yeah. To plagiarise from one of Tony's previous shows. This is dovetailing in many various directions.
Sure.
Ring in with out of the blue spoilers.
Yep.
That you couldn't have avoided. Ring in with grammatical errors in songs.
Great. Great. We should have some cue. We should have brought in some examples if we'd known that Hedley wasn't... Well, if I'd known. What have we got anyway? What have you queued up?
You've queued up.
Something from, I think, Dave Graney and Claire Moore.
You can hear him every Tuesday here on Triple R. 12 till 2, Banana Lounge broadcasting with Dave Graney. That was Dave Graney with Claire Moore.
That was
the track.
Actually the Dave Graney show.
Okay.
With yes, with both.
Do the
Dave
show
and
get
Claire.
Dirty if I don't get mentioned?
Probably. I don't. Is it? They're not on holiday, are they?
No.
As well.
Oh, they might be.
It's confusing. Who's on holiday? Where does everyone Triple R go to? Like Port Douglas?
Oh, I would have thought so. Yeah, it's a you know, it has that grunge reputation, but you get up to Port Douglas and it's just a whole lot of people in black band T-shirts from the '80s.
So they don't go like together as a team like they would at stations I've worked at, where they go
team building.
Yeah, let's go up the Kokoda Trail
and sort of go across a rope bridge.
Yeah.
No, we haven't done, never
that's
did
good.
That.
That'll make us play more Bryan Adams.
Nah, it's pretty much sitting in the next room over there eating chips. That's what we do for team building.
Now, I understand we've got angry callers.
Oh, yeah, we've got
something I might have said.
Well, you made the mistake of making fun of Paul McCartney, really, is what you did.
Okay.
And I will defend him to the hilt, especially his decision to stand in the little top of the boat during the anthology, where he has his head sort of in a little captain's cabin for much of the anthology. I will defend that decision to the hilt.
And will you defend Pipes of Peace?
I'll defend Free as a Bird. I'll defend Pipes of Peace. I'll defend everything that Paul McCartney does, including. But I also want to put
being
on
so horrible to that nice young woman with the one leg.
Pretty much. You're writing a book about someone with one leg, aren't you?
I kind of am, yeah.
Well, before we get onto that, let's just speak to another Paul McCartney apologist. Hello, line three. Hello?
Gone.
Gone.
Just well, obviously it was the Pipes of Peace thing. Gone too far.
I took too long. But
there'll be other equally angry people there.
The point he wanted to make is that he doesn't think that Paul McCartney sang in this ever-changing world in which we live in.
Which is what it sounds like to me.
Which you have pointed out is a double in and would fail a year six sentence structure test.
Right.
But what this caller, he wasn't angry, he was very, very measured, but did say he was a fan of the song, said that in this ever-changing world in which we're living,
it sounds like in which we live in, I'm sorry. But, well, the lyric sheet probably would say that the rest, because he would have written that out and gone, that's just wrong, that's idiotic, I mean, like a fool.
And surely Martin, your namesake, George Martin, would have stepped in. he knows his grammar, surely.
Oh, yeah.
If you can orchestrate in many parts, you can spot a double in.
He's very stern.
It's
George Martin, he'd be butting out joints.
12:42, and we are on the party show. Tony Martin and myself, Tony Wilson. We're marching right through till 2 a.m. this morning, and we have thrown out as a topic: when have you been hit by a broadsided spoiler?
Because
I got done. Mentioned before that last song, I got done in crikey this week when they put the Series 7 inauguration speech from the West Wing underneath the real inauguration speeches. Done. Well, on line one, we have a caller who... Have you got a Sixth Sense story for us, have you, Paul?
Hey, how are you going?
How are you?
Hey, Tony.
Hi.
Hello.
Big fan. I was talking to a friend and I hadn't seen Sixth Sense. And I hadn't mentioned it to him, and I'd been, for one reason or another, I hadn't been able to see it for a few months. And with the topic segued onto a weird dream that somebody had, and he said, yeah, it was really weird. It was like this person in the dream, they didn't know they were dead, you know, just like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense.
There you go.
There's that movie got done for me by a friend as well. Just said, once you know he's... And I said, I was screaming over him as he said it, but managed to catch.
Have to watch it a second time round, I guess, to pick, you know, to see all the bits and pieces.
And has he gone through all of the bloke's films? He's a superhero that don't like water. It's in modern times, you know, just one by one through all of the spoilers from his films.
Tony Martin might be able to Can you tell us why his further films are so bad? Like The Village is a stunningly bad
well,
film.
Well, he's just made a rod for his own back with being Mr. Twist sort of ending. But that, I mean, we don't want to spoil The Village. So let's allow people who haven't seen The Village.
Oh, no, spoil The Village. That's okay.
Okay, I guessed it from the trailer. The trailer had a village and there was a monster in the forest and then there was somebody painting a red line over doorways of houses, like it was some medieval kind of curse. Yeah. And I'm going, hang on, that's what they put on buildings, modern buildings, that are going to be condemned. I bet it's set in modern times. And then, at the end of the trailer, the very last shot of the trailer where they bring up all the credits, there's, like, monster noises, like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And then, if you listen closely, some of those are bulldozers. There's like modern bulldozer noise. So I'm going, right, there you are. They're demolishing the building. They're builders. They think they're living in, you know, ancient times. Here comes a tractor. That's all gone out the window now.
And yeah, I don't think Charlemagne needs any help having his movies ruined lately. He's not exactly on a good run.
No.
What was that one that was like a serious version of Splash?
Lady in the Water.
That one. Goodness me.
Yeah. Look, line
the Happening,
two.
The Happening. Even if it's really good, that's not a good name, The Happening, because you immediately just think of Austin Powers.
It's true.
This is my Happening.
I had another good spoiler, too, and it's courtesy of, I think, a Who Weekly magazine, because Stephen King writes for him sometimes.
Yep,
he does
articles
for him, and he ruined, was it 24, with Edgar Stiles getting killed?
Oh, well, you wouldn't want to, because that was a shock.
It was.
That was very cruel, killing Edgar Stiles.
And now you realise I'm going to... I haven't started this series yet, but I will watch it, and I've got to somehow forget that Edgar Stiles, that those two words have ever been said to me. So.
Edgar Stiles got gassed. It was terrible. It would have taken like four people to drag. It would have been two people on each leg to have dragged him out of CTU.
Well, you're both very bad people, and we've lost half our listenership who have worked out where this show's going to go for the next hour and a quarter as each show, one by one, gets ruined. But on line two, we've got someone who actually does that. He's been doing that for longer than you and our previous caller, Paul. Hello, line two. Is it true that you love spoiling? Hello?
This is another...
It's Berkey here, Tony.
Oh, Berkey!
I've jumped on across lines, boys. How many cans of worms can you blokes open in one little segment?
Is it getting worse? What have we done now?
Well, the Wayne Brady thing with Don't Forget the Lyrics, I would have gone with in this ever-changing world which we live in, but now it's thrown it up in my mind.
Yeah.
That could be the other way.
I reckon that Tony Martin's right and that our line three fell off the line because he was Googling the lyric sheet and he's seen the double in and he's out.
And it's got an in at the beginning, which just makes it worse in this ever-changing world in which we live in.
How can you defend Ebony and Ivory, Tone?
Oh, you can't really. The best one is with... Frank Sinatra and Eddie Murphy. Well, sorry, I've got it the wrong way around. Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy as Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder doing Ebony and Ivory. You are black, I am white, you are blind as a bat, and I have sight, be my amigo negro, let's not fight. Slightly wrong, but...
Oh, a little bit of weak come out then. That was funny.
It's a good Berkey.
I can't remember...
As a pisser. Oh, now back to the spoiler.
Yeah.
About 500 years ago, when it was $6 to get into the movies, we all pitched in our money, the three of us, and sent one of the guys into the crying game.
Oh, yeah.
Just halfway through, it's going, it's a bloke!
Oh, no!
That was a pisser.
That's terrible. And when you had seen it, did you see it coming?
We'd seen it. We'd spoke about it and said, this would be funny. What about if we go in and do this? And we pulled our money together, $2 each. Best $2 ever spent.
What's Mick Wendy's line?
What does he say?
And another thing. That guy, that woman, that chick in the crying game is a guy.
There was another film where they tried to do the same thing at about the same time. It was a David Cronenberg movie. It was called M. Butterfly with John Lone from The Last Emperor. And you're going, the problem is that everyone knows that actor. We've seen him in The Last Emperor. See, the bloke in the crying game hadn't seen him in anything before. Yeah. Could have been a chick.
Yeah.
But you're going, that's the bloke from The Last Emperor. You can even see, like, stubble. It was very poorly done.
Loving your work, gentlemen.
Thank you, Berkey, for calling up.
In this changing world in which we live in.
I reckon that line one will give us the Googled answer to our problems on Live and Let Die. Is that the case, line one? We are free-forming our way through the board here. Hello, line one?
Speak up if you're waiting to
speak. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Who are you?
Tim.
Hello, Tim.
I want to talk about how all the Blu-ray players are killing off our AFL footballers.
Blu-ray players?
Yeah.
As in the technology?
The Stingrays.
I'm with you, because I thought you were... Well, I thought that the home appliances were talking to you was my
worry. Just assumed that the massively sharp resolution of films now is make people go, can't be bothered with football. Check out how good She's the Man looks in Blu-ray resolution.
Because I know what you mean. In terms of, you're talking about walking in the surf after they've done a training session,
what
are you?
What?
Is that what you're talking about?
What? Yeah, you're with me, mate.
I am with you. It's because we got accused by the last caller of moving a bit quickly through and throwing out too many tentacles. I think this one's this one didn't come from us. But basically, what you're saying is that they walk in the surf after they go and do their exercise. They get bitten by stingrays, and that is a problem. And it has happened a few times.
Whatever he said.
It's
quite... Hang on, so footballers are regularly attacked by stingrays, and this is a problem. That's what you're saying.
It happened twice last year.
Blu-ray players.
Good God.
Blu-ray players.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you for your call.
This has nothing to do with the new DVD format whatsoever.
No. Although you actually pointed out to me, there's a popular spoof that I saw where the last scene of Downfall... No, one of the
it's
scenes from Downfall...
It's become a thing to do now, and there's about a zillion versions of it on YouTube, but the original one was a guy had subtitled the scene from Downfall where Hitler's going nuts and everything's going wrong for him. It had subtitled it about the battle between HD and Blu-ray, and they've got Hitler saying things like, "But we've got Wedding Crashers." We still have the rights to Wedding Crashers on HD.
Yeah.
But it was based on a real thing that happened.
It is now, it just happens all the time now. Like the all these football, like when Hawthorn win the flag, it's the, you know, he's a Geelong supporter, and when two players get caught drinking, you know, he's a Collingwood supporter.
Oh, I see, right. Yeah, right.
The football has embraced the downfall
football
scene.
Football has taken that, right.
Yeah, so there's the intersection. Football, Blu-ray.
Gotcha.
Now we're up to Hitler.
Okay. What are we spinning next?
We're spinning something from Catalyst. This is the album Dusted.
Have we left people anywhere to go with the call-in? The sport?
You know,
that's Dave Graney. No,
that's Dave, isn't it?
Dave Graney. Yeah. There we go. Catalyst. Dusted.
You're such a
Hi, this is Triple R's own Adam Elliott. I'm responsible for Harvey Crumbert, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Adam Elliott. Had a big week, I believe. Yeah. Opened Sundance Film Festival with his first feature length.
Called Mary and Max, or Max and Mary, and it's animation with plasticine men, but quite depressing, apparently. Like, deliberately so. I mean, not
for Adam. Like, not like he's depressed about how it's gone.
No. But, you know, normally, because the thing that frustrates me about animation is that it's so expensive that it always has to be for kids. It's almost always for kids.
Yeah.
If it's not just, sometimes it's, you know, The Incredibles, adults can enjoy that, but it always has to work for kids as well.
Yeah, and so you can't go too hard, I was going to say, but he might have gone too hard.
I think he's gone with real human emotion, something like that. Really? Interesting. Yeah.
Well, I hope it goes well.
It's about someone with Asperger's syndrome.
Has there been a real-life film about Asperger's?
Oh, surely somebody would have gone for the Oscar with Asperger's, wouldn't they? That's one that hasn't been done yet.
Can an animated figure win the Best Actor Oscar?
Can that happen?
Maybe plasticine can, but cartoons can't. I reckon plasticine is closer to a human.
If you're drawn, get out.
Yeah, but if you're made out of mud, you are still in the running for Best Actor.
That would be great. How good would that be if it was like, Gromit?
What about...
If it was Sean Penn, Mickey Rourke, and Gromit.
What about that one, the Something Darkly,
where they
coloured them in afterwards?
Yeah.
They acted the whole film.
That's
then
coloured in people.
So can they win Best Actor, or are they cartoons?
Could they? That's called rotoscoping. It's like tracing. It's the equivalent of tracing.
Yeah,
is that because you've still got a person at the centre of it? Could that be a best? Interesting. There's a documentary. I think it's nominated for Best Documentary this year, or possibly for Best Foreign Film. Don't have the information. Thought Headley was going to be here. But there's a documentary called Waltzing with Bashir, which is a documentary that's animated.
Right.
Because they filmed a documentary and then they've gone and done that sort of Scanner Darkly animation over it.
Well, they should still be able to win Best Documentary, but I do want to know if you can win Best Actor if you're a cartoon.
Could Barney
Could Rubble? Roger Ramjet pick up a gong one year? It's a good question. We had a call from Peter who rang in to throw some further Kero on the live and let die fire by just saying Google four different sites in this world in which we live in. For people who have just joined us.
And that's what it said.
Tony Martin has correctly pointed out by the looks of things that the lyrics to the theme song of the film he was watching earlier tonight, Live and Let Die, that it contains a very clunky and containing too many ins.
In this ever-changing world in which we live in.
Yeah.
And that's so, apparently really what it says.
Yeah, four sites have confirmed that. We had Paul, I think, very enthusiastically and trying to defend Paul to the hilt, said that it was in this ever-changing world in which we're living, which isn't what it is. But
the two ends is still annoying. It's not necessarily wrong, but that, as you know, as a writer, you would delete one of those.
Yes. Anyway, so that is...
Three. Is it just unacceptable?
So we're beginning to tie off a few threads here. That one's gone. You're right.
We're heading into the second big hour here at the party show, normally with Headley and Dee Dee and Tarek and Biggis and the Elvis song at the wrong speed. I think we need a new topic for the second hour.
What we were going to do, I was thinking, what about current affairs music beds?
Oh, so when they... have you seen one of these recently?
So, for example, no, I haven't. I mean, I haven't watched much of Current Affairs, but I know that feel where you're just hearing a song and you go, oh, my God, that is the absolute only song that Channel 7 or Channel 9 would ever play in this situation. And I guess a good example would be Clemmy, the swimmer, decides to drive Clemmy across the outback for charity.
Which
and they do it. They do a shot from behind his car, and they play, "I'm on a road to nowhere."
Oh,
that sort of just go. Just go. That's so lazy from you, producer.
That's your like current affair. I remember probably maybe 20 years ago on the 7:30 report, someone had gone to do a story from the Mint, and I reckon it was running under, so they just padded it out with song. So it was literally like, "We're here at the Federal Mint. Money's too tight to mention." And then it was, "This is where all the money is made.
Money."
And then it was, "Yes, that's right. Look, here's some coins being stamped out. Money, money, money." And it was just every single money makes the world go round. It was like about 17 songs with the word money in, and about four actual sentences.
So, well, you've directed a movie, and you would have had to choose the music.
Yeah.
Were there songs that you ruled out?
No, we didn't have any songs.
No, it's just songs.
I went
sound
with that because the last time we did a show, we were talking about the
Malcolm Crash Opera.
Malcolm versus the Big Steel. Malcolm hasn't dated because they used all that weird Penguin Orchestra music. Big Steel, remember it is good, put it on. Here we go, just one more time. You know, it's of an era. There's not great films. I don't think I have Boom Crash Opera songs in the soundtrack.
Is there a great film that did go for hits of the era?
Yeah. Well, when did that start where they would just layer it on? There was sort of like American Graffiti where it sort of felt necessary. But now it's just, if we've got someone driving down to the shops, can we get Walking on Sunshine under there?
Well, the ones that, just to get back to that real, like, what are the worst offenders, the serial offenders for being overused in either films or, in particular, I'm thinking cheap current affairs television or getaway type shows. So I reckon Money's probably the worst. Pink Floyd.
Yeah, Kokomo always seems to come up on travel programs.
So the so we want you to ring up with them. And we also had the idea of having a game where we will name the current affairs story and the callers have got to come up with the bad track to play underneath the story.
What did I hear? I heard, I've been in New Zealand for a week and I was listening to, there's a station called The Rock. And they have a, like, everything is the same as it is here, but with a different name. Like, the breakfast shows just sound exactly the same as here. And there was one, it was the breakfast show, it was called The Rumble. And it's like, "This morning on The Rumble." And it was like, there was, you know, a guy hosting, a sort of giggling girl, and then another sort of guy who's just absolutely pissing himself at everything off.
Tim Smith.
Off. It wasn't Tim Smith. And Tim, it would have been Tom Smith. And they've got, someone has called up to say, and it's like, "This morning on The Rumble." And they've got to compress it all into 20 seconds. And it was like, the bloke who's next door to me just tipped dog shit over my fence. And then the laughing guy was just pissing him, just before they even got to the funny bit about where, which was, of course, the guy should have then taken a dump himself. The guy's just losing it. And then in the middle of all this, some, like, the producer just starts playing "Who Let the Dogs Out" and just farting noises. And that the laughing guy is having a coronary by this point.
Well, we do have a caller.
Who let the dogs out?
That's a classic one to use. Yeah, hello. Now, line one, are you talking current affairs, bad song choices, or are you talking something else we've dovetailed into over the course of the last hour? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, is this the couple of idiots that are currently running some sort of bullshit program currently?
Yes, that's us.
That's exactly how it's listed in the Green Guide.
Yeah, we get most of the column.
I thought a couple of guys such as your calibre might have come up with a bit more than what you're currently waffling on about. Jesus, I've just been to see Leonard Cohen and I thought I might share the experience with you.
Let's hear it.
From the top.
Well, Godfathers. I was a small little child when my parents were, you know, hippies, and they kind of were interested in Leonard Cohen, and there were a lot of hippies there who had gracefully aged and morphed into various accountants and lawyers and what have you. God knows what they were, and there were lots of love childs.
Was it fun? Did you enjoy the gig?
Pardon?
Did you enjoy it?
It was great. It was great, but it was lame at the same time.
When he sang Hallelujah, Did he in any way say, "Oh, it's a bit annoying that other people's versions are liked more than mine because I wrote it"?
Well, when he sang "Hallelujah," it was barely recognisable. I thought.
Oh.
I thought, it's "Hallelujah." Hey, everybody, you're singing "Hallelujah." Of course, they all knew he was, but it wasn't the way I remembered. When you listen to an earlier recording of Leonard Cohen singing it.
He wasn't laying some beats down or anything, was he?
Well, he just... Pardon?
Well, didn't have giant puffy pants. He wasn't trying to modernise it.
There was...
he was wearing a suit for a start.
It was a funny article in
and
The Age.
The goat, you know, the geese neck going on.
Not really.
In the A2 of The Age, I think a few weeks ago, it might have been Robert Drew who wrote an article about his grade 2 daughter singing "Hallelujah" and just the joy of listening to a grade 2 choir singing the lyric, "Remember when you moved in me, the Holy Ghost was moving too," or whatever it was.
What do you think the old the Cohen was thinking of when he penned it? Do you think he snorted a line of something and dropped a tad of something else while he was in a...
I think
passage
he was
of something, or?
Yeah, he was thinking, grade twos will sing this. I could get some grade twos to sing this.
I'm thinking he was thinking, I'll get a bit of skirt with this one.
Really?
Well, it sounds like it did work to some extent. But thank you for your call and your feedback on our show, on our meanderings.
Hey, well, can you guys just up the ante a bit? Because you guys are really boring.
The intellectual ante? Well, like, give us some topics that we should be throwing.
Just shut it. Right, because you are just so not... you're not giving what you fully potentially can give.
Well, give us some topics, and this does sound exactly like a call from my mum. Are you now going to tell me what the temperature is, even though you're in another country?
Actually, what's your mother's name?
My mother's name is Jeanette. And she will call up, and she's been doing this since the 80s, even before there was the internet, and she'll know what the temperature is.
Well, I'm actually Jeanette's new next-door neighbour. I don't know if she's told you about her.
She has. She claims that the people next to her are Arabian and that they have deliberately installed the satellite dish on the roof of their house in order to interfere with her Channel 3 reception. That's an exact quote from my mother.
No,
so
actually,
if you're, you must be on the other side.
Is underground tunnels to interfere. Somehow there's a new technology that underground tunnels are actually what is interfering with her satellite.
That sounds pretty much like her. That could be her word for word.
We do have a line too, but thank you very much for your call.
That was exactly like a call from my mum. You're not living up to your full potential. What are you doing? Shut up.
Well,
and that's like that. That she'll open with that.
You're working for free at 1:09 in the morning, Tony Martin. Who have we got on line two? Hello?
It's Biggers Stickers.
Thanks. We copped it from that last call, Biggers.
I had to ring in and just give it a brush off and give you guys an excuse to come to me so you could piss her off altogether.
But I think we've thrown a few topics. Is it normally, is the level of talk on Hedley's show normally sort of more intellectual than this?
Not at all, no.
Should we be talking about John Updike or something? What sort of...
It's at this calibre here, so it's at this level.
Right, because every time I've been on, and I've been on probably 30 or 40 times, it's usually got down to Steven Seagal movies. You know, I don't feel as though we've come on tonight and lowered the bar that much.
Possibly not. I can take into consideration Steven Seagal. But let me throw you a question, young Tony.
Yep.
I stumbled across a show last year. It was like a cheesy or black comedy. It was two Kiwi guys travelling through the US trying to make it in a band.
The Concords, the Flight of the Concords.
Is that what it was called?
Yes, Matt. It's quite popular now.
I watched one episode and I thought, this is a bit cheesy, it wasn't much, and I stumbled across the second episode and I got hooked onto it, and I can't remember the name for the life of me. So Flight of the Conchords, was it?
Yeah, huge. They went to number three in America. And this is a fact, Tony, you told me, that in fact on the original radio show, they had, almost as a joke, Neil Finn giving them advice on how to go. And Neil Finn never went that high on the American
Neil Finn
charts.
Went to like only number 12 or something in the album charts.
Like a Spinal Tap thing, is it? Was it a black comedy? What was it?
Well, it was two blokes from New Zealand who have been knocking about in other comedy groups for a few years, and they started playing songs together about, I don't know, it might have been 10 years ago, 1998, 99. And I saw them at the Victoria Hotel playing to about 40 people about 5 years ago at the Comedy Festival, and now, yeah, they're at number three in the US charts.
I can't believe that.
And they've just, the second series of that show, I think, started maybe last weekend
in
America.
On the hippopotamus.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a cheesy spoof of some sort.
My rhymes are bottomless.
From New Zealand. No, the best thing about it from a New Zealand perspective is that they'd tried for years to get that show made in New Zealand and nobody was interested. So then they went to HBO.
It was HBO, it was indeed.
Yeah, you know, the best TV network in the world, and now New Zealand Television buys the show back from HBO at enormous cost. So that must be satisfying.
Why did it get such a shit time slot? I mean, I was rubbing my hands together when I saw the HBO come up and I thought, what show is this?
Was it on, well, Channel 10 had it at like 10 to 11 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
But people just buy the DVDs. Most people watch it on the internet, I think.
Yeah.
It's over for network television.
Just on that, did you catch, I think it was called Shandon Pictures?
Yeah, well, that's been on Foxtel about a year ago. Now that's on the ABC, and that's a show that is made for literally 25 cents. No, that is Rob Carlton, the bloke who's the main character. I think that's his house that it's filmed in. So keep that in mind when you're watching it. It's not a show with, you know, like a budget of The Hollow Men or, you know, The Librarians or an ABC comedy. That's a show that's made for.
I thought it was a lot funnier than The Hollow Men, but we'll keep that to ourselves.
Well, it's been on Foxtel, and they're making a second series of that, so, you know, good on them.
Biggs, you were the equivalent, I think, of a guy in a bar who comes over and rescues his mates or been bailed up by someone. And
had I been in that bar, I would have beaten the shit out of that girl.
Biggs.
Is that the sort of talk that Hedley condones, nay demands, on his sophisticated early hours of the morning broadcast?
Only when he's wearing a blue tracksuit top.
Look, we had some positives came out of it. We are pulling up our socks in the last 40 minutes.
What I love is apparently, you raise the tone, raise the bar, it's not intellectual enough. And then when she talks, it's like, Leonard Cohen wrote that song so you get a root. Yeah, man. Wow, now we're surfing the stratosphere of intellectual thought. Bang. Let's make fun of hippies.
Okay, flight of the Concorde.
We got a lot of calls. You started something, Biggs, with...
Brush me off and I'll let you go to the other call.
Thank you, Biggs.
Not a problem.
Hello. We've got a caller on line one. Hello. You're talking to Tony's and Tony.
Yeah, g'day, mate. My name's Rick.
Rick.
Yay, Bick.
How are you, mate?
James.
Are you one of Hedley's regulars, sir?
Hey, Bick. It's Rick James. I need a word up to Captain Whipper, bitch.
Oh.
Captain Whipper, you tease, bitch. It's Rick James. A what?
Oh, okay. It's Rick James.
A what?
He's doing Rick James.
A what? Okay.
He's giving us a bit of Rick James via Dave Chappelle, I think.
Yeah.
There you go, Brad.
Thank you very much for that.
See,
hello.
Now we've got things back in the air.
Yeah, hi. It's Peter here again. I'm the live and let die man.
Yeah,
I've got a couple more Paul McCartneys for you.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Yeah, I've got, there's from Brown-Eyed Handsome Man. There's the Venus de Milo got the world in the palm of her hand. And the Venus de Milo has got no arms.
Oh, he's an idiot. He's clearly an idiot. What's the other one?
There's from Lonely Road, there's Don't Want to Get Hurt a Second Time Around Again.
Don't want to get hurt.
Tautology.
A second time around again. Oh, ouch. In which this world in which we live in.
Did Paul come out this year and say that he was the political one and that John learnt from him because he went and had a chat with some philosopher, one of the major philosophers in England in the 60s, and was politicised, and then he went back and told John about politics.
Right.
And then so I thought that... he took a bit of heat because a lot of people said, oh, that's just bullshit.
There's just less and less Beatles around to contradict him. You say anything.
So he was claiming this year, I think, that he was at the political heart of the Beatles.
Yeah. And John Lennon was just...
And John Lennon just sang all those political songs in the Beatles.
He was more interested in custard and walruses until I showed him the way.
I was surprised by the story when I read it, which was clearly written by a Paul hater. For Paul haters, that story.
That's very good finds there from Peter.
Yes.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, I love bagging Paul McCartney.
Yeah. I feel a certain warmth as well. I accept that he's one of the geniuses of the century, probably, or the last century. But there is something annoying about him. You just see him in that tugboat. Oh. I mean, anthology 16 discs or whatever it is. I've watched them all, but that tugboat just gets to me after a while.
Okay.
Thanks,
right.
Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Okay,
who else have you got there?
Hello. You're speaking to the party show. Hello.
Yeah, g'day. I'm the guy who originally tried to defend Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And, you know, all right, mea culpa, I was wrong.
Well, I was sure that you must be right, because you're going, that would make more sense. You'd think that somebody would have come up to him.
Your
when
red
doing...
pen could have saved that song.
Yeah, I know. Tragic, isn't it?
Just change it from In Which We Live into In Which We're Living. It still scans.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I was sort of self-correcting him, but never mind. But I was actually also at the Leonard Cohen gig.
Yeah.
And Hallelujah, there was a person a couple up to me, and when he played Hallelujah, she turned around and said, well, we can go now. After Hallelujah being played. And I thought, well, this person's driven all the way to Coldstream, which is where the gig was, to hear Hallelujah. And it's about an hour's drive, and I thought, well, that's not a bad effort.
Yeah. He's done the song. We've got the album in the car. We can save some time. We can beat the traffic. Leave now.
And by the way, it was the most beautiful gig.
It was good.
It was sensational.
Did he do any of the songs from? I'll tell you what I saw recently is McCabe and Mrs. Miller, which is all has no score at all except for Leonard Cohen's songs.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the film enough. Or I haven't seen it for about a million years. I've seen Live and Let Die more, or at least, yes.
How's that bit at the end when Yaphet Kotto turns into a balloon?
Look, you know, that was my first James Bond film.
Oh, it looked great when you were a kid.
And I saw it again more recently, and it is easily the worst James Bond film.
There's documentaries, though. You watch the documentaries. Remember the bit where he runs across the crocodiles?
Yes.
And you go, how fake. First, you're going, why have they lined up like that?
Yeah.
And then you go, how fake does it look? And then you watch the documentary. No, it's the guy actually is doing it. And they show all the takes of the guy running across the alligator. It's fantastic.
They're not real.
They're
alligators.
Real. They're tied down. But like when he misses one and falls in, they all go for him.
It's Frogger.
It's exactly like that. And then they've got Jane Seymour, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. And they've got her in. Remember, she's in the double decker bus?
Indeed.
And there's the double-decker bus chase. And like, it's spinning around and crashing into stuff. And they've made her be in the bus for every shot, including when it goes under the bridge and has the top shed off, which even slowed down. You cannot see her in that bus. But they've gone, sorry, Dr. Quinn, in you go. You're going to avoid decapitation by centimetres, but it's going to look great. You won't even be able to see her. Send her in. Let's have a look.
The great thing, though, is the way they tried to tie it into the whole blaxploitation thing at the time.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of... He does look very uncomfortable, Roger Moore, in a blazer, sort of, you know, mixing it with Superfly.
And speaking of blazers, to get back to your earlier caller, Leonard Cohen's been wearing a suit for pretty much as long as I can remember.
Was she implying that he'd sold out to the man and his values?
He's wearing a suit as though that was some sort of wrong thing for him to do. But anyway.
What were his novels like? Did you ever read them? Are you a big enough fan to have tried him in another art form? Because he wrote novels, didn't he, to start with? No,
sorry. They've gone highfalutin. They've gone to books. Not having this.
Well, I've got a track. Let's get back to the art form that we were initially on. And it's Myriad Harbour by the New Pornographers.
I took a plane, I took a train.
Oh, who cares? You always end up in the city.
I said to Carl, look up for once
and see just how the sun sets in the sky.
I said to John, do you think the girls here
ever wonder how they got so pretty?
Oh, well, I do.
Look out upon the Myriad Harbor.
Look out upon the Myriad Harbor. the boys with their homemade microphones
have very interesting sounds.
All the girls falling to ruin, dropping out of school, breaking daddy's heart
just to hang around. I walked into the local record store and asked for an American music anthology. It sounds fun.
They tore off my skirt and stuck it on the walls at PS1.
New Pornographers with The Myriad Harbour. I think that's a 2006 release. You're listening to The Party Show. Headley's still on a break, and two Tonys filling in for him, Tony Martin and myself, Tony Wilson. We'll be going all the way through till 2 a.m. It's currently 24 minutes past one.
And we're attempting to emulate the tone of a standard party show with Headley, and there's some dispute. Some are saying that we've gone too lowbrow, and then people are hanging up when you've mentioned books. So I can't tell if we're walking the line. I mean, sometimes, like I say, sometimes he'll have economists in here for 2 hours. Now, we're not going to be able to talk about the economy. Well, you probably are.
No, I can't do the economy. But I tend to go baseball bat style into the economy because they regard themselves as a science and clearly aren't. And so you're kind of like, I just have that sort of sneering sense of, yeah, at least, you know, I'm over with in the arts.
Yeah, right.
And you should be with us stop giving us any of your freaking maths and formulas, you guys, because you don't know what's going to happen.
That's right. But then sometimes I'll tune into the party show and he will have been to Sexpo and there'll be 2 hours on vibrators. So, you know, it can go either way. I mean, what are we, you know, what area should we be getting into for this last half hour?
Should we go up or down?
Yeah.
Or we could put that out to the callers.
Yeah, maybe.
Why don't we do a call? We'll wait till we get an odd number of callers, as in 1, 3, or 5.
Yeah, that's always funny.
Tally the votes. Mm. If they say up, we go high, and we'll talk about.
We can go high, bro.
You can do David Foster Wallace again.
Talk about David
you
Foster
can do
Wallace.
David Foster Wallace. And what will I do? I don't know if I've got. I know what I'll do. The convention debates of the 1890s. To the 1898 debates, you know, as to whether we should become a federation. I'm okay on that stuff.
Fantastic.
So we either go high in that direction.
Right, yeah.
And if they say we go low, I don't know whether you reckon we do a Steve Urkel impressions or something.
Urkel impressions? Really? Would that have ever been done, do you think, on Triple R before?
I think so. Phoebe Squared can do an Urkel. What was his catchphrase again?
I was never really across the hole. It was too painful. I could never watch.
So we need an odd number of calls now. Okay. So we have no calls, but you need to tell us whether to go high or low.
That's right, and we will do that. We will go in whatever direction people want us to go. And what's the number? Do you need to give that?
9388 1027 for a vote would be handy. We actually have to steer a middle course if no one calls, of neither high nor low.
Well, let's go back into the world of reading because you know that we can go high or low with that. What have you been reading of note?
Well. Recently, I've read an advance copy because I got to do the front cover shout of a book about real estate called Sold by a guy called Brendan Gallifer, I think.
Right. Local
and
author.
Local author coming out through Sleepers and a terrific satirical insight. I know that you always like books or movies which give you a bit of an idea of a job that you might not know.
I always think that's great. You know, even the good one is that it's a pretty bad film, Pushing Tin. But for half an hour, you're sitting there mesmerised by going, well, I've never seen air traffic controllers in a film before. It's quite interesting to see people going about their job.
Well, this book tells you a bit about what being a real estate agent would be like. It's a comic book, mind you, but then and the comic scenarios unfold. And the great evil in the book is whether the Abbotsford Convent is going to become apartments or whether it's going to be saved as an art precinct.
Is that really going to happen?
No.
Apartments?
It was going to happen and it was saved. Mm. So this is set in the, I guess, in a fictitious version of what really went on with the Abbotsford Convent a few years back. And so basically they look around and he looks around at a real estate agency and sees... you know, the kind of womanizer. He sees the old guy who's only just hanging in there. He's seen the guy who's raiding the trust account. And there's a, but the bit I think you'd really like is it gives you that, they do a thing called, something fictions or something. And they basically speak as though each Monday morning they come in and they pretend to be doing a transaction with the vendor.
Right, so sort of theatre acting.
Yeah, theatre sports. Theatre sports. Real estate agents.
Real estate, because I worked in commercial radio, and that you would just go past the boardroom, everyone will be pretending to be monkeys leaping about on the table.
Really?
One time I went past, everyone was mesmerised by the whiteboard, the PowerPoint presentation. It was just a picture of Forrest Gump. what the point was that was being made. And there's names for that. There's a blue sky session.
Right.
We're going to do some insight mining. That's one I've heard. We're going to go down to the boardroom, do some insight mining. We're going to... there's something they throw around. They have an invisible ball that they throw to each other.
They thought of that during one of their repeated plays of Midnight Oil, didn't they? That insight mine.
Well, that's it. The insight mining and the blue sky sessions keep going, but the music stays essentially the same. And there's something called a fine storm, which is where you stand in the boardroom and you just say words. So it'll be like, I'm just going to say to you, furniture. And then what's the first word that you think of?
Happenstance.
Bang, and we're off. We've got a fine storm happening here, and a marketing campaign emerges from this free-forming of ideas.
Right.
People do this kind of thing at their workplace now in the real world, Tony.
We had a vote a moment ago, but they've dropped off the line.
Again. No, there's one. Look, there's a flashing
here it is.
Light.
We've got a vote.
Bang.
Hello, Triple R Party Show, Tony and Tony. Oh, hello.
Hello there, dear.
Who have we got?
It's Elsie.
Oh, you one of Headley's regulars, aren't you?
Yes. I haven't listened to Headley's program for so long.
And now you're back?
Yes, well, I've been listening. I used to listen back in 1985.
Oh, well, and what was the standard of discussion like in those days?
Exactly the same as it is now. Now, by the way, dear, you're not in delay.
Oh, here we go. Because you're about to say something naughty?
No, I'm just letting you know.
Right.
I would never say anything naughty. I'm a lady.
We can tell. We're well aware of that.
Yes.
How do you feel, you know, the tone has been set on the show tonight? Are we going too lowbrow or too highbrow?
I miss Mick Malloy.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, he's not coming in.
Oh, isn't he?
He's not going to be here.
He's got 30 minutes to arrive if he does come. It's probably unlikely. It'd be like an episode of Weddings or, you know, like one of those. It'd be like a channel set, sort of a commercial current reunited shows. Look, if we did that.
Like Triple R draw the line at one sacked Triple M presenter per day, per year, actually.
Yeah.
The calls have dropped off tonight.
They have dropped. Well, they've dropped off. We had another one just then, but we spoke to you for 30 seconds too long, as it turned out.
Oh, no, that was probably because I rang earlier on and had to hang up because you were rabbiting on about something else and didn't answer the phone.
Oh, never mind. Well, if you were the person who just had that same experience, do call again. 29 minutes to two. You've got a track queued up.
When's Hedley back next week, I think?
Oh, I think
thank
so.
God.
He'll be back with missed a sort him. Of George Hamilton tan. That's what I'm expecting. Lighting his cigar with $100 bills. Let's have some Yola Tango. Shall we do that? Hey, Mr. Tuff, on Triple R.
Hey, Mr. Tuff, don't you think we suffered enough? Why don't you meet me on the dance floor when it's time to talk to her? And if you need to tell me something once, you won't have to say it twice. And if you ask for a nickel, I'm gonna hand you a dime. And we'll forget about our problems if only for a little while. And leave our worries in the corner, leave them in a big, big pile. Pretend everything can be alright. Hey, Mrs. Bill, time to think of something. We'll be right back.
That's very interesting radio.
What happened?
I don't know. You were playing literally two songs at once here on Triple R.
Yeah. But did I make them work almost contrapuntally, or do you think it was just noise?
We'll say that it's something that Hedley normally does. We are filling in, of course, for Hedley.
Yes, party show, summer party show at 1:36 in the morning. And that was Yo La Tengo.
Yes, that was Hey Mr. Tough from the album. I can never remember the name. It's quite long. Something like There's Quite a Lot of Us and We'll Kick Your Teeth In, or There's a Fair Few of Us and You're Going to Copper Pasting.
And it is I Am Not Afraid of You and I Will Beat Your Ass.
There you go. It was near enough.
And if you were writing ass in your novel or book at the moment.
I'd go with A-R-S-E, ass.
Because it's we're Antipodeans?
Well, unless you were having someone speaking in the American vernacular, then I think you could go with ass.
Okay.
But do you use ASS?
ARSE.
Yeah.
Myself.
The Australian
and you,
way.
Of course, Barge Ass, one of your pieces
that
of work.
Wouldn't have been any
Badge
good.
Ass.
Badge Ass. That's what they say in Adelaide. Who have we got on the line, Tony?
Oh, we have a listener who I believe is doing a rating survey as we speak. Hello, line
Hello
one.
There. How are you?
Who are we speaking to?
You're talking to Matt.
Hi, Matt.
How are you going?
Very well.
That's the way.
What are you up to?
I'm just sitting here listening to you crazy, whacked-out dudes talking about stuff that probably Hedley doesn't do quite as well as you guys. But
oh,
again,
come on. Hedley, I think, is it fair to say that he brews up a more heady intellectual stew than we're creating here this evening?
Well, I don't know about that, but it was enough to get me listening at 12 o'clock on a Sunday morn.
And will you be putting that in the book? Is that what you've got, a ratings book?
I've got it in front of me right now, and I've got X's all the way through till about 1:30 now, and I can actually, right now, X the 1:30 to 1:45 slot.
Matt, it sounds like you've been given a ratings book, and I know it's kind of a funny thing. It arrives at your door, doesn't it? They say, will you do this? Well, it sounds like you're taking it really seriously. You're sort of just sitting there watching each cross go by.
Well, I'm an avid radio listener, so I feel as though it'd be nice to have some say or some, you know, feedback as to what I'm listening to, you know.
And how did you get selected? Were you just someone knocked on the door at random?
Basically, yeah.
And do they tell you at any point how many of these books there are in circulation?
Well, he did tell me, this dude, that they had changed as of this survey. They used to raid one particular area,
right,
and just kind of bombard it, but now they're kind of spreading it more evenly across. And I come from Eltham,
right,
and there's only like five or so in this area as such, so they've changed their, you know, way of doing it.
Well, I have done a ratings book and had an enormously good time doing it because basically I was on air at the time, so there was my show, right? So I could cross just fill that out the first 5 minutes that I had the book.
The whole book done.
Yeah. And then there was the fact that I've got quite a loyalty to this place, so I was happy to fill in all my friend shows. But then I had friends on other channels doing segments and stuff, and so there was quite remarkable situations where I was tuning out of my own show for 15 minutes at 7:45 on a Friday morning
to give a little bit of a
in
stat.
Order to support my mate doing a piece over at Vega on sport.
Well, I thought about doing that, but I'm an avid radio listener, and I thought, well, I'll keep it true to the word. But
yeah.
The best part about the whole thing, if I just might just butt in there, is that at the end there, there's a space for comments.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and I can say it right now, I suppose, but on 3AW between 6:30 in the morning and 8:30 in the morning, the amount of ads those guys put on, they talk for a total of about 8 minutes per half hour. That's it. Yeah. The rest is ads. So ads and news.
And that's going to be your comment, too many ads?
Mate, I'm going to word it up. Hopefully, when I'm sober, I will word it up so well.
That 3RW say we no longer need that revenue stream?
Well, mate, they need it, obviously, but how can they be the top of the ratings tree? And
because
it's ads.
Old people put their radios on 3AW in 1963, and they have not
welded onto that position. They,
you know that the actual head of 3AW door knocked every one of their listeners and individually turned their dials from 1278 to six whatever it is now.
Oh, yes,
because. They haven't moved their dials for 40 years, and when they changed the actual frequency, they had to do it house by house.
Like coming out of a stand.
But isn't it true, and I don't know, I could be wrong about this, that there's only something like 1,500 ratings books in any one server?
I don't know.
So all of radio, all of this enormous structure that we're all involved in, millions of dollars,
it's amazing.
Depends on just 1,500 sample listeners. And what you hear from time to time is that when digital radio comes in, mm-hmm. ratings books won't be required.
I did notice, though, in the very last column, there's a column for AM, FM, internet, and then there's a blank column.
The blank column, what's that for?
Well, exactly.
Close encounters.
Something's going to be activated.
As you just said, would you say digital or satellite radio?
But I thought the idea was digital radio was that you would just know if someone's, you know, there would be no need to fill out the books because as soon as somebody switches on a digital radio, it goes to some master data and you'll get an absolutely accurate involving every radio.
But there's a blank space.
What's that blank space for?
Watch this space.
Well, we went 5 seconds too long and lost line two. But thank you very much for a very fascinating chat.
Can I just ask, sir?
And I miss you both, and you're great, and race around the world, and all that stuff.
Thank you very much, sir.
I miss Hadley, but you guys have been great.
Oh, thank you very much. We've enjoyed doing the show.
Went to the Leonard Cohen concert, and I'm. Is she Fred Ingham or what?
I think she is.
We got line two.
That's the scary bit. She was.
Surely a lot of people from Eltham were there tonight.
No doubt there was.
We appreciate your call, Matt.
Tony's great.
Cheers.
Good to hear
Good
from
you, Matt. Nice research.
Hello?
Hey, it's Paul again. I called up earlier to have a chat about Sixth Sense, but I called back.
Yeah.
Talking about one of my favourite things, ratings and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a nightmare. What a nightmare.
Well, you know, of course, I should just clarify that Triple R aren't part of the ratings because it does. You do pay to be a part of the ratings, and Triple R don't pay for that.
Triple R, then. To be perfectly honest, this is my first time listening tonight. Thanks to the wonderful internet, I was on a website where they post information about Tony Martin's
whereabouts,
latest appearances and stuff.
Oh yeah, what have I done now?
Know, it's something. Stalker.com. No, hang on, champagnecomedy.com.
Oh, yes.
And it's really good. I'd just go to this forum and check to see if you guys are showing up on radio anytime. And
right. Sure enough. But what does it say? What am I doing now?
Well, it said it posted at 12:03 a.m. by Puppet. He's posted that Tony Martin on Triple R, the party show. So there you go.
Wow. It's really current. It's actually ahead of...
In the morning.
Tell me what I'll be doing
Tony
tomorrow.
Martin spotted on Nicholson Street and Blythe Street. Might be on Triple R in 5 minutes.
It's got webcam footage. If you wave through the window... No, I'm kidding. But no, it's great. It's fantastic. And this is the sort of thing
Oh, hang on. You've either driven under a bridge or been possessed by the devil. Hang on, try standing in a different part of the room.
He can see dead people.
We can't hear you. Try. Now we've lost him completely.
Oh, what a shame.
That's obviously the...
we like talking to the ones Puppet. Who like us.
It's the guy Puppet somehow doing that.
16 minutes.
Sorry, Paul, we lost you. It wasn't anyone's fault.
Oh, now people are lighting up. We'll go one more call and then we'll play a track.
Yes.
Hello. Who are we speaking to there? Oh, no. Oh, no, I've got to turn that on. Hello, who are we speaking to there?
It's Paul again.
Oh, you're back, Paul. Was it just the goodbyes bit? You know how sometimes you ring back and you're already up to the goodbyes?
you're doing it again!
You've found a cheap way to make phone calls, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
The beauty of the internet and the downside of the internet, but anyway.
Yes, it sounds like you're coming through a very old, before, what was it, dial-up?
Yeah.
I'll just have to kill my porn download, and then I should be able to get a nice clear signal here. It's fine.
Yes, loseknockedupmoments.com, and then we'll become very clear.
And we do, however... Oh, that one's gone. Triple R, the whole station shuts down at the word porn is uttered on air. And it's happened well, again, it seems.
It must shut down every week about 10 seconds in the Headless program.
Yeah. Well, we used to play a game on Breakfasters for how would you accept your Oscar? You know, like when the music starts, would you be doing, you know, sort of standing still and contemplative looking at the stars, or would you be doing high fives with all the rows behind? Well, this track got us thinking because it's by the Go Team.
Yep.
And there are parts of it, not this bit, but there's a bit of this song where it sounds like receiving Oscar music. And so you've got to picture how you would receive your Oscar.
Okay.
I'm a both hands in the air man myself. Maybe a high five here and there.
And we should just point out that Tony Wilson is doing this show with a severe injury.
Yeah, I did my hamstring going across the pedestrian crossing. I actually did it initially in a cricket game for Triple R against the Lomond Hotel. And
how'd you go, by the way?
Oh, got a wicket.
All right, is that good?
Well, I got a wicket after I'd torn my hamstring. It shows the standard of the game we were playing. Sam Pang dropped the catch as I tore my hamstring.
Oh, hello to Sam Pang if he's listening.
And generally, I didn't expect the Lomond to be involved the next time I tore my hamstring, which was just outside the Lomond Hotel, with them having told me that they couldn't give us a six-pack for this show.
Oh, I'm feeling bad for sending you down. But no, look, I will do you a favour now, though. You've tantalisingly hinted earlier in the program at your book that you're writing.
Oh, yes. I do like to... I have a knack for a plug, and yes, I am writing a book that will probably be out end of the year, I'd say. It's a black comedy. I wrote one about 3 years ago called Players, and one is in a similar vein. It's about a ex-footballer, soccer player in London who is entrapped by a tabloid newspaper into a sex scandal, and it's the way his family basically responds to the pressures that suddenly fall on him.
And you had a kind of an interesting thing happen with your first novel, Players, in that life imitated art.
Which I thought was very funny for a long time. Not funny in a sense that, cancer's a pretty serious business.
Sure, sure.
But Sam Newman obviously was the character I was lampooning in Players. There was a guy called Tickets Thompson who's the central character of my novel. He's a 50-something playboy ex-footballer. And I guess the heart of the novel is that, when he needs some good PR, he pretends to have cancer and gets the kind of celebrity bounce that comes from the sympathy that goes with, a high-profile tumour.
And gets driven around the MCG.
Yeah, and it's all a lot of faking going on. And then, of course, that's 2005, I'll stress, that this book was written. And,
yes.
And of course, 3 years later, instead of testicular cancer, which is Tickets Thompson's cancer in Players, Sam Newman actually gets prostate cancer.
Yes.
And
I've been sort of pestering you for years to write a TV miniseries of Players. I think there's too much plot for it to be a movie, but I could imagine it being 2 times 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you've now said to me...
I've got a problem.
It's kind of...
Well, now, because whilst I don't... I mean, it's sort of bad taste. People won't be able to work out when it was written versus when the cancer happened.
If you were to do that, people might think that you were just being cruel about Sam Newman.
Yeah, that I'm somehow insinuating that his cancer isn't real.
Right. So what happens in No, don't say.
You're wondering who I'm trying to kill with the next book. Yeah, it is a problem.
Well, it's like that. Do you remember Village Roadshow Films, I think based here in Melbourne, made that film Diana and Me?
Right.
About Toni Collette being a huge fan of Princess Diana and going to England to stalk her, and then she died. So they had to shoot a new scene. Like, it was all a flashback from Diana's funeral or something. But it basically just infected the whole spirit of comedy, and it didn't go very well. So then they've gone, let's make another comedy. Here's one. Let's get Scase. And exactly the same thing happened again. They did this big comedy about Christopher Scase, and then he died.
So they had the power. And you reckon I might have the power now?
I think you've got that sort of voodoo. Sorry, I'm still thinking Live and Let Die in this crazy world in which we live in. Who are you putting the mockers on next, Wilson?
Well...
Don't say.
I'd like it to be Murdoch.
Yes. Like, do you remember that interview with...
I should say not Lachlan, because I might one day ask him for money.
Yeah, no, but, not Lachlan.
Not Lachlan, the other one.
Rupert Murdoch. I describe him as a melting candle dusted with Ovaltine. That's what he looks like to me.
What was the line from the guy who wrote The Singing Detective?
I was going to say Melvin Bragg, who was interviewed... sorry, not Melvin Bragg. He was interviewed by Melvin Bragg. Dennis Potter. And, he was interviewed like 3 months before he died. And he was, during the interview, swigging from a hip flask of morphine. So this was a guy who had nothing to lose, who could just say exactly what he was thinking. And Melvin Bragg said to him, what was your one regret in life? And he said, and I'll get the wording wrong, but what he said was that he hadn't walked up to Rupert Murdoch and shot him in the head. That's what he said.
Any kiddies out there listening?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not saying that it would be a good thing if it happened. I'm saying what an interesting thing for a dying man to say.
It is.
That was my point.
Yeah, but it does play in, I guess, to you asked me who the next book, who I'm pointing my very powerful Bic Biro at, and it is, he'd be my first pick, I reckon.
Right.
Just because he's had more impact on...
Lowering the standards for all of us?
Yeah.
in every aspect of society.
Yeah, like just things like Fox News and
there was a great sketch on a bit of Fry and Laurie. Do you know that show with Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry? And they did a remake of It's a Wonderful Life, where Jimmy Stewart is, of course, about to kill himself, and then the angel comes down, shows him what the world would have been like if he hadn't been born, and it's a series of terrible things. So it points out that, you know, Jimmy Stewart has made a contribution.
Yeah.
And the sketch they did was Rupert Murdoch was about to kill himself, and the angel came down and showed him what England would be like if he'd never been born, and it was pubs full of black and white people playing chess and enjoying each other's company, and there was no television in the corner of the pub.
Yeah.
And I think the sketch ended with Murdoch going, "This is fantastic, it's so ripe for exploitation." And then the angel pushes him off the bridge himself.
That's good. We've got a caller.
Hello.
Let's see who's on line one. Hello. You're speaking to Tony's.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I was just wondering if I could get Mick James's number from the list that's in the studio.
We'll put that to our panel. Can we get Mick James's number?
Can't really just give it out to you now, because I put you straight to air, was what I did.
You don't need to put me to air, I promise you.
No, I didn't need to, but I already have.
That's how it works.
I don't have a producer, so I assumed that you had some feedback on whether or not to shoot Rupert Murdoch in the face, which is what we were up to.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're talking about shooting.
No, we're not.
We were talking about somebody who said that they were going to do that, but didn't, and in fact died before they could execute their evil plan. Are you a regular listener to Headley's show?
I'm a regular listener to
Triple R.
Triple R.
In general.
And you need Mick James's number.
I can't always, you know, be tuning in at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning, as much as I'd like to.
But you're quite happy to call the station at 1 to 2 in the morning to get somebody's phone number.
Yeah, but it's
an emergency,
right? It's fair enough. We'll take your call off. I'll just pop you on hold. I have a word to you in a minute.
We don't have Mick James's number, but we did have someone doing an impression of Rick James earlier, if
we
you
did.
Remember.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now, we're coming up to the end of our show.
Yes.
We've had a magnificent 2 hours. Tony Martin, thank you very much for...
Thanks for inviting me, Tony.
...for filling in. And thank you to me for filling in as well, because we're both doing it, really.
And we should thank Biggest Dickus and Paul and Peter and everyone who contributed tonight.
Yeah, and yeah, thanks to everyone. And we've had a great time. You've actually chosen our last song, Tone.
What is it? I forgot.
It's something Radio City.
Oh, yes, it's a bit of Big Star. So, you know, for the Leonard Cohen fans, for people who remember the days when music was music.
Absolutely. Let's go out with that. And we'll see you around the traps, wherever Champagne Comedy tells you Tony Martin is. So,
that's where I'll be.
See you, and good day. Good morning.
you say indispensable?
Triple R.
Indispensable.
102.7.